From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Friday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio. Today, I'm just going to talk about a few different things to close out your work week. A little bit of a typical Friday podcast, as there hasn't been a ton of football going on yet. Ole Miss gave their first opportunity to the media to watch yesterday. You can get a photo gallery up at rebelgrove.com. A little new photo gallery we have going on, a little swankier than our past.
Pretty fancy. Stuff.
So you can see photos at rebelgrove.com and more. We'll discuss that. We'll discuss a little NCAA today. Also, I've been getting a few requests from you guys over the last few weeks to go back into the movies to do some Rotten Tomatoes stuff. So we're going to do a NCAA-themed Rotten Tomatoes today, Neil.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I hadn't told you that yet.
No. So. I missed that in the pre-show meeting.
Yeah, that was a big meeting today.
It was.
3.5 seconds.
Hell of a meeting. We did actually do some show planning for next week this morning.
We did, yes. Multiple days.
Yeah, we have a big week planned for you next week.
Yeah, so hang in with us.
Oxford Mayor Robert Tannehill will be on next week.
Yeah.
And pretty sure we're going to have Ross Bjork on next week. So,
kind of the head people everywhere, Neil. I mean, we're one Phil Bryant interview away from just capping this bitch.
I don't even know what the hell I'd ask Phil Bryant. I'd be like, so, yeah.
You beat the truck driver.
Yeah. Tell me about that race.
Were you scared of Mr. Gray? Gray, right?
Yeah. Who do you think had a better shot, Gray or me running for Oxford mayor? Probably Gray. He had a better chance.
State guy on Twitter said Leo Lewis would be the mayor if he'd come.
Yeah, I don't think so. I'm going to tell you what. 2 days in a row now, I have incurred the wrath not only of Mississippi State fans, but apparently a handful of their beat writers.
Oh, they've gotten in on it too?
Yeah.
Oh.
Let's clarify a couple things real fast. I'm going to get this out in case you're listening, Robbie.
Okay.
I wasn't pissed off at Pat Forty. I was correcting Pat Forty.
We're for some reason, we're still discussing the 2014 Peach Bowl.
Because Robbie and others are hung up on the fan thing because they're such big effing fans that they can't handle that other people don't have the same emotional investment. My point, Robbie, that day, and Pat, if you're listening, was not that Bo Wallace was not playing a crappy football game. Bo was really bad that day. So were his teammates. They got the crap kicked out of them that day. TCU beat their ass. But my point was twofold. One, when you say pull Bo, for who? That was my question. Devontae Kincaid? Ryan Buchanan? Who are you pulling him for? And then secondly, it was more of a big picture thing. If you could have gotten away from the good bow, bad bow narrative that was so easy and so stupid and so elementary, if you could have just possibly, just for a minute, extricated yourself from that particular narrative, you would have realized that Bo Wallace had made Hugh Freeze a multimillionaire. Because Bo Wallace could have gone to Texas. His family, and Robbie, you should know this, preferred him to go to Mississippi State because they didn't really trust Hugh Freeze after Arkansas State. But Bo decided to go to Ole Miss. And it was the recruitment of Bo Wallace, not Robert Kimdichie, Bo Wallace. That was the biggest reason Hugh Freeze was in a damn Access Bowl in the first place. So pulling him in his final college game in an unceremonious fashion to be benched as some sort of a punishment would have been not only inappropriate, it would have absolutely been wrong. Give Hugh Freeze credit, and I don't give him a ton of credit for a lot of things, but I'll give him this. I even think he knew that. That was my point. So when I was told to mind my beat that day, I did. I asked Pat Forty a question. He chose not to answer it. Now you know. I'll grant you were covering a game that night in Miami, and maybe you didn't know the whole backstory. Now you do. And then the other one, the Auburn game last year, I shouldn't admit this out loud because it's not the most professional thing. I didn't watch the Ole Miss-Auburn game. I watched game four of the World Series. I was pissed at John Lackey. I didn't watch it. But I'm a good enough writer.
You were kind of just sharing screens, too, because the lady from the Opelika paper was watching the World Series, too.
Yeah.
So she was an Indians fan.
She was an Indians fan. I got the last laugh later that week. Here's the thing, guys. I'm good enough to attend a game, not watch the game, and write about it. I can do it. I've done it before. I covered an Alabama-Arkansas game once in 2003 where I didn't watch it. Wrote a column that won an award. I watched the Cubs-Pirates game that day because the Cubs won the National League Central.
Might have been better off if they hadn't in hindsight.
But probably.
Yeah, just. Neil needs a daiquiri this morning. I know where you can get those. The Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West. A lot of different flavors. You got hurricanes. He likes the hurricanes.
I do like peach, a hurricane.
You get strawberry. You get watermelon. You get grape.
You get sick of that crap, people going after you on stuff, though, sometimes, don't you? And you people are like, well, you should just be quiet. I don't want to be quiet.
We were told yesterday we might could get you orange. You mentioned the orange.
I
told on Twitter last night, we might could get you orange. But
as when a man, it's when you know you carry a stick, right? You carry a big stick when you're like, hey, man.
You get your flavor of frozen daiquiri.
I can get my flavor of frozen daiquiri and get it done quickly.
You know a guy.
I know somebody.
You got a guy.
You're damn right I know somebody.
You got the daiquiri guy.
I guarantee you, my man Ben Craddock.
I can get you an orange daiquiri.
Ben and me, we're tight. I guarantee you yesterday Ben found out about my, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not proclivity. Is it proclivity for an orange daiquiri?
Just a desire.
Just a little bit of a desire for an orange daiquiri. And I guarantee you Ben said, let's make that happen.
Yeah.
That's how we roll.
But for now, a few other flavors for you. Check those out. Again, got a little bite to them. Get 20 ounce for $3 or so. So check those out at the Oxford Exxon. They're coming to everywhere next week. I know Tupelo's part of the expansion of the daiquiri business next week for Craddock Oil. So there you can go next door to Oxford Crystal. You can get the Hans Bun milkshakes if that's more your flavor, chocolate, strawberry, Oreo. Or vanilla, or a slush, if you would like the version form of the daiquiri. Those are made with Kool-Aid and Sprite instead, grape or green apple. They're on Highway 6 West, and again, coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
We are. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900 is the number. 662-257-1900, clarkfordinc.com. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. Right to the bottom line. No haggling. Just great deals. And then, when you're talking to Corey, tell Corey that you heard about the end of your deal. Wait till the end. Tell Corey, hey, I heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention this podcast. You can mention the Beer Garden podcast. Another Beer Garden dropping later today. John Hamm of the franchise in Oklahoma City, all things NBA. It's a really good interview. I think you'll like it if you like the NBA and you like the drama of the NBA offseason. You'll like this Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. But tell Corey you heard about Clark Ford on the Beer Garden or on the Oxford Exxon podcast. $500 off the bottom line. Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900.
So, start here. We have filled out the relevant paperwork to get official word. However, Neil, there's been a lot of talk for a long time that the Committee on Infractions hearing for Ole Miss would be sometime around the bye week, and it appears that it is leaning that way, and that is true.
Yeah, it's the week of
the bye week.
Is that right? It is, isn't it?
Yeah. September the 11th.
It's actually the week of the Cal game.
Is it
the week before the bye week?
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, never mind. Close enough.
Hey, a rarity here on the Oxford Exxon podcast. I got one right and Chase got one wrong. It does not happen much.
At least I admitted it. I didn't like fight with you over it.
No,
for 5 minutes.
Take this moment and celebrate. Whee! Okay. I think it's September 11th through the 13th. I have not confirmed this with anybody, but I trust my sourcing. And it's not in Mississippi. It's basically outside of Cincinnati, which makes sense. The head of the committee on infractions is the guy at Xavier.
Here's why I got screwed up. Let me blame, I guess, our parent company at the moment. Yahoo. Is that still right?
Verizon, Yahoo.
Well, look at this schedule.
I don't know.
Yes, September 16th is the Cal game. September the 9th is the UT Martin game. So you're correct. Bye weeks later. Okay.
However, I'm not trying to hold this over your head or anything. I've already celebrated.
Look at the schedule.
I can see how you got confused.
They put a bye week in the middle where the dates do not correlate to said bye week.
Yeah. Yahoo has Ole Miss having a bye. Yahoo is banking on Ole Miss not practicing for Cal.
They have the bye week listed at UT Martin to Cal between those two. However, the dates still are 7 days apart on that schedule. So, anyway, yeah. The week of the Cal game is a bye week per Yahoo.
Right.
Leading up to the game.
And it's not.
It's a lot of travel.
That is a lot of travel.
So anyway, September 11th through 13th, they normally take a couple days. I hope to have you a little more information on kind of how these COI hearings operate here soon as well. The head of the COI committee is the AD at Xavier, Chris Mack. Kind of close to him then, isn't it?
Yeah, he could drive. I imagine that's why it's set up there, for his convenience.
It's 3 days before, or that's the week of LSU for Mississippi State now.
Yeah. I don't think Leo's going to be there.
Do you not?
I don't. And I got to tell you, the whole let's Skype him in. If I'm Ole Miss, I say no. No, I want him in the room.
Yeah, State plays at home against LSU September 16th.
I would say I insist he be in the room. He's the reason we're here. He should be in the room. I'd put my foot down.
6 to 8 weeks after this, they will get their final sanctions. So
Halloweenish.
Yeah.
About what we thought.
The whole time we've kind of said mid-October, mid-November, and it's going to be right there in the middle of it.
And if you're Ole Miss, you got to be pleased with that part of it because you're going to be able to go into your coaching search stretch, able to tell a prospective candidate, actually hold a sheet of paper and say, here are the sanctions. There won't be the unknown.
Knowing is better than not knowing, no matter what the knowing is.
Yes. I'm sure there's an exception to that. Yeah. But yes.
In this case, that is the correct
answer.
In
this particular case,
I see a lot of people going, oh, no, that's after Ole Miss has played some games. What if they're winning? The NCAA is going to crush them. Look, stop. The NCAA is done with this case. The COI is not members of the NCAA. The investigators are no longer doing anything, I don't guess. Heard that before, but I'm assuming this time it's real. So a bunch of ADs and then a bunch of people that are in the private sector are not in the NCAA situation of trying to screw Ole Miss, okay? It's different people here. It's former coaches. It's the dude at Georgia Tech that cheated his tail off with his dudes back in the 90s, Clem Haskins. It's the AD at Xavier. It's some government official. Again, we've had the list out. It's those 10 people, as long as those 10 people can get to the location on that day. If not, they'll sub in somebody else that, again, will not be a member of the NCAA. So it's kind of where we are there. Anything else?
No.
You good?
I'm great.
Sure.
Oh, yes.
It's yesterday. Again, photos up at rebelgrove.com.
You mispronounced award-winning photos.
They were sort of in focus, so I credit you for that. Half of them were in focus, at least, so that's good.
They were focused enough. You could see the damn people.
Look like a watercolor.
I'm not a good photographer. Even though I once won a photography award in the state of Alabama.
Did you really?
I did.
For what?
I was filling in at a time when tons of people were sick in the newsroom. I got sent to a high school basketball game and just told, hey, can you cover this high school basketball game? Just this one time. I'm like, yeah, yeah, sure. Can you also take a picture?
Point and click.
And I'm like, man, come on. Like, just please. We'll clean it up. We'll fix it. Just take the picture. That's all you got to do. All right.
Took a bunch of pictures.
So I go.
Or just take 10 pictures.
And I get underneath the goal.
Okay.
Okay. And I'm just pointing it up. I'm going to try to get a picture of somebody getting a rebound. And I get a picture of this dude coming down on a dunk. And I took the picture at the exact right time. And by sheer happenstance.
It got in focus.
Was focused and framed expertly.
Couldn't do it again to save your life.
Oh, hell no. It was like fastball, close your eyes, swing hard. And
so when this thing gets like developed or whatever back in the newsroom, you look at that son of a gun and go, well, I'll be damned.
I was like, I'll be damned. And they were like, that's really good.
Because you have no idea that you get in there and get it on the thing.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
not
yeah.
the digital world.
Yeah, I said, you get anything? I said, I don't know. I took some pictures. You told me to take some pictures. I did. It came out later with, hey, it's pretty good.
You ought to do this more often.
And I was like, look at me. I'm out. See ya. And but I won an award.
Yeah, I had to, when I first started in this, I covered a lot of high school football and having to take pictures on the sidelines. Every week, my shot that I knew I could usually get was the quarterback rollout to my side. That was kind of my specialties. I knew I could always get the quarterback rollout to my side.
Yeah.
So I think he went in the paper every week just out on that sideline, about to fling it to a tight end a few yards down the field.
When I worked at the Oxford Eagle, I could always get the tailback sweep. When the tailback was coming at me on the sweep before he turned upfield.
Oh, you get him frontal. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'd get him front, man. And I'd always kind of get somebody blocking. It was great. But I think I was told, hey, can you mix it up a little? And I was like, that's my wheelhouse.
So, we get media availability for interviews again Monday or Tuesday. I think it's Monday, right?
I think it's Monday. It might be Tuesday.
We've been not knowing
this
for a while, but
I think it's Monday.
Strangest thing yesterday that would occur to me, Cam White at wide receiver, where they're typically pretty deep, not deep in the secondary.
Well, obviously, ask
first
Matt Luke about it. I'll give you my little theory here.
Okay.
In the recruiting process, they said, hey, you'll get a shot at receiver. Maybe that was important to him. Hey, I'd like a chance at receiver.
Yeah. Let's put the ball in my hand, see what happens.
So maybe it was, let's look at you.
There's a lot of that everywhere.
I know nobody wants to hear this. They're not competing for a championship this year. It does give you freedom to experiment a little more. I didn't say it's meaningless. I've already been told, oh, no, 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 I don't want that. I didn't say it's meaningless. But it is freedom to experiment some from a program standpoint.
Yeah, so we'll see where that goes. And then Ken Webster obviously will continue to practice, even though he's suspended for the first game. He's at safety currently. I don't know what to read into that. If I knew no other information, I would kind of question where the knee is just from a quick twitch cornerback ability. However, again, two practices, no pads. We don't know anything yet. That's the thing here.
The people, Chase, that go to a no-pad practice and come out with 400 practice observations – are pandering. I'm not making fun, but it's pandering. There's no contact. You can't tell who. You simply can't tell on a new player how well or quickly he is going to acclimate to the college game when there's no contact. When you're not even watching team drills. The last I checked in football games, it's 11-on-11. Can we wait till they get 11-on-11 and they put pads on? And you're watching guys handle leverage and handle strength they've never seen before? I talked to Benito Jones. I'll have it up in the next couple of days. Benito talking about the adjustment to the college game. And Benito handled the adjustment really well, better than most. And he was talking about how it was eye-opening.
Yeah. You hit it on the head. Nothing they've seen before. Speed, size, strength, period.
Every play. Every game. Yeah, when you're at Waynesboro, is it possible that a couple of times you might face a really good player?
Sure.
Sure. Not every week. Going to be weeks when the kid across from you is just a kid playing high school football.
He's going into the week all week dreading the fact that you're across from him.
Yeah, hoping, man, I hope I survive this week, and then 10 years from now I can say I once played against Benito Jones.
Yeah. Hey, in that time I blocked him. I cut
him. Yeah. I put him on the ground one time.
Yeah.
He's hoping for one play. He knows he's not winning.
Yeah.
You don't get that in college when you go up against Alabama and Auburn and LSU and Texas A&M and Arkansas. Like Benito said, I think it was Benito, even the week they played Georgia Southern, this was Greg Little said this.
Okay.
He said the Georgia Southern had defensive ends who could play. He talked about how against when they played Auburn, it's all being a story, when they played Auburn, he was like, man, the backups to the backups can play. It's every play. Well, when you're a big star left tackle in Texas.
He's seen a lot of kids.
You can take a play off. Yeah. Hell, you can take a game off. But we're going to make practice observations on the first practice. No pads. How? I'm going to be honest with you. This is where when I think coaches get sick of media, this is why. I'll give myself this. I'm never going to be the guy that sits here and tells you all who looks great. I'm going to let the coaches tell me who looks great. And then if the kid doesn't look great after they told me how great he looked, that's on them because I quoted.
Oh, I do think there's a certain semblance of reason media restrictions have happened is the coaches do not like the unrealistic expectations set forth.
Oh, I do too. 100%.
I think that does play a role in that.
100%. But because your audience demands practice observations, you give it to them. I don't know how you do that. We were only out there for 30 minutes. I guess I'm seeing how many enemies I can make in one morning.
Yeah, you're not too far up yet.
But I'm about four. But I'm right. How do you do that?
You hadn't pissed off anybody from Alabama yet.
No, I generally find that beat to be one of the better beats.
Yeah.
Pretty good beat. Aaron Suttles is damn good.
Yeah.
Tommy D's. Cecil Hurts, one of the absolute legends in our business. Cecil's terrific. I think Casa Grande does a really good job. Who else is on that beat?
That's the main ones.
I mean, they deal with a headache a lot. That fan base is rough.
It's a pro and a con for them.
Yeah.
They're getting interaction.
That beat's one of the better beats.
So move on. A podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. 30 years old this year. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting that understands your market. Also, a leader in condo financing in Oxford. So ask Jason about the float-down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate. But if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. You can find him at 662-234-2704 or JLOWE, at communitymtg.com.
The podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based RE/MAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better than he does. Go to his sites, harryalexander.com. You can filter through by what you're looking for. The results are updated daily. Send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com. Podcast also brought to you by Michael Oswalt. Michael's a realtor, specializes in recreational and timberland tracts across the state of Mississippi. He works with Tom Smith Land and Homes. It's by far the largest broker of land in Mississippi. Go to his site, gotland.com. It's got-land.com. You can read his recent testimonials, ask about his track record, look online, see the properties he has listed. Just know this, the land market's really hot right now. If you're on the fence about selling your land, your hunting club share, or your home with acreage, now's the time. Give Michael a call today. He's ready to meet with you, explain the process. He says if he can't earn your business in that meeting, he doesn't deserve it. So give him a call, 662-719-3967. Visit his Facebook page or send him an email, michael@tomsmithland.com. The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want, but with the personal touch. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account you'll find anywhere. It's called Kasasa. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. OUB is offering 1 year and 3 year CDs, great annual percentage yields, great terms. To learn more about it, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
Kind of an interesting story here if we move on. Carlito Gonzalez, who signed with Auburn. Gus Malzahn had said very, very recently, including at Media Day, that Gonzalez had a class to finish, could potentially be there. Or sorry, earlier in the summer, had said he had a class to finish, could be at Auburn prior to camp, then said that he was choosing a junior college. Come to find out, yesterday, Carlito Gonzalez has enrolled and was on the practice field at Memphis. So not even going JUCO, but just showed up in Memphis and is practicing for the Tigers. It's either a transfer situation or an academic redshirt. So either way, he's not going to be eligible till 18. But instead of going JUCO, he didn't even tell anybody at Auburn and just went and took the field for Mike Norvell.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I think all the Auburn beat writers were on Twitter yesterday, and all the Memphis guys, the commercial appeal, they said, hey, Carlito Gonzalez out here, and you show up. And I think they had to inform Gus. I don't think he was aware of it.
Wow.
Yeah, so – the NCAA has that initial eligibility thing where it's like an academic redshirt if your core GPA and your ACT are at a certain number, but you're not a qualifier or something.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming he fell somewhere in that realm. But either way, good pickup for Norvell if he's still in Memphis next year.
He won't be.
Don't think so.
Nah.
Since the last year for Norvell at the Bluff City?
He's moving on.
Is he?
I don't know where, but he's moving on.
So you're not being coy there or anything?
No. I don't know anything. I just know he's really highly thought of in coaching circles. They're probably going to do fairly well, and he's going to get out.
I think that's fair. So, all right, I told y'all we're going to look at some movies. We'll look at some movies today. Hopefully we haven't already done these. If so, I was not aware of what they were, so I don't think we have. Again, all movies with some sort of NCAA tie today.
Okay.
Yeah. What?
Just laughing.
Again, I'm completely stealing this idea, but it's okay. People like it. So
oh, yeah.
Fine. All right.
I mean, Jeffrey stole from Corolla every week, right?
Well, that's what I'm stealing from. So.
I'm kidding. Jeffrey, if you're listening, I'm totally kidding.
We're going to get such a cussing text later in the day.
Yeah. You dirty.
Where he goes, I never had an original thought. You're right. Never. All right, we're going to start here, and I'll pick things that I think you've at least stumbled on and seen some of. That's also the problem, is you have not seen a ton of movies, so I had to be a little careful with my selections, but I think I found some that you will at least be aware of.
Okay.
We are starting with the 1994 film, where winning isn't everything, even if you have to lie and cheat to do it. That's the underlying message of this dramatic expose of college basketball recruiters. Up until recently, Pete Bell had been a winning coach for Western U's basketball team.
Oh, it's a good
show.
But
this year has been different. The film opens with a coach ripping into the team for another dreadful game. He knows if his team continues to lose, he will lose his job. He has no choice but to recruit more talent. And suddenly that turns into plenty of guys you know under the names Ricky, Butch Hardaway, and more as some NBA players in this movie. Of course, I'm talking about Blue Chips.
Yeah, Shaq.
Penny Hardaway, and Larry Bird.
And yeah, Larry Bird's in this too.
Yeah. What do you think? And I actually played two before I did any of this. I didn't look at them. I just threw some scores down when I picked the movies before I pulled it up. So I'm playing as well. I thought it's bad, but it's not awful with critics. It's kind of like another one I'm going to get to in a second, where there's just enough kind of dirty grime to it to maybe not be a terrible thing. I said 49 for Blue Chips.
That's what the critics gave it?
Well, that's what I guessed.
Okay. I'll guess that the critics gave it like a 30.
Okay. You're closer. Critics gave it a 37.
Okay.
For Blue Chips. Highly watchable, though.
Oh, yes.
The audience only gave it 52.
Really? Oh, I'd give it like a 90.
You're in.
I love that movie.
You really?
It's bad, but it's... Well, I can watch it. It's like I meant to ask John
something
Hamm
about Penny Hardaway's character, and it just cracks me up. I don't know. I stay...
I meant to ask John... That movie, the filming of that movie, changed the NBA.
What do you mean?
You didn't know this?
No.
Oh, okay. So,
yeah,
I'm not in.
Oh,
let me give you a little background. So the next time you watch it, you'll look for this, and you'll watch the movie differently.
Okay.
So Penny Hardaway had just finished playing at Memphis. He was coming out in the draft when this was being filmed. Okay?
Yeah.
And Shaq was a rookie, he was early in his career with the Orlando Magic. And the Magic had the first pick in the draft. And it was widely assumed they were going to take Chris Webber out of Michigan. And Penny Hardaway got there to the set, and he said, made it his goal, I'm just going to, because what they did was they said, let's film to make it look like real basketball. Let's just play basketball. We'll cut it up and all that later. Let's not stage things. Let's just film basketball. And so Penny Hardaway wanted to be the first pick in the draft. And he goes, I'm just going to feed the ball to the big fella.
Just give it to Shaq.
I'm going to get it to Shaq. And so Shaq left the filming and calls the Orlando Magic and says, you need to take Penny Hardaway number one.
Because of a movie.
And the Magic, of course, did all their homework and kind of fell in love with Hardaway. And I don't know if you remember,
it was imitating Larry Bird. It was Matt Nover was the player. Sorry, yeah. I got confused on whatever.
Yeah.
So it was imitating the French Lick, obviously, kid. But yes,
right. It wasn't Bird himself.
Yeah, it was Matt Nover.
Yeah.
Played Indiana.
Yeah. So what they did was the Magic took Webber number one, and then traded Webber to the Sacramento Kings for a whole bunch of stuff, including the rights to Penny Hardaway. And Shaq and Penny led the Magic to the NBA Finals.
So there you go.
There you go.
All right, next on our list.
That is Story Time with Neil.
Appreciate it.
Brought to you by Grenade and Nissan.
Next on our list is the story of the ESU Timberwolves. The football program.
The who?
The ESU Timberwolves.
Never heard of this one.
Halle Berry's in this. They get a big-time running back. They beat Mississippi State in the season opener. They have a Heisman quarterback potential.
I bet that movie upset Robbie.
Think so? Because State probably lost in the opener?
Yeah.
Got a linebacker that gets hurt halfway through the middle. They got a guy on steroids in the movie. A lot of cliche NCAA college football stuff that's
pretty real.
Hits a little closer to home than most people want to believe.
I had you at Halle Berry.
I had you at Halle Berry.
You did.
Again, what year was this? 1993, the program.
Okay, now I think I have seen this.
I would think so. Their uniform colors are basically Florida State. They're garnet and gold.
But East Tennessee?
No, Eastern State. It's just a fictional.
Oh,
but they play. But they play kind of a Notre Dame type schedule. Like they play Michigan. They play State. They play.
I did
whatever.
See this. The guy gets hurt really bad. There's lots
of
steroids.
Alvin Mack, the linebacker, gets hurt. Yeah. Latimer was a walk on that got on steroids, and suddenly he's a defensive end.
And he was crazy.
They've got the big time freshman running back that can't hold on to the football and has to carry it around campus all the time.
Oh yeah.
But they deal with assault. There's early in the theatrical version of this movie, or maybe even beforehand. They had the guys reading Sports Illustrated leaving a bar, and they were laying in the middle of the road. And the filmmakers ended up cutting the scene because of people imitating that and laying in the middle of the road reading the magazines and different things. So that's been cut out. However, Yes, The Program with Eastern State University.
I do remember that film now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought, again, just because of they handled a lot of subject matter, as cliche as it was, so I thought it'd be a little better than it was. I said 59.
I will say that the critics liked it. I'm going to give it a 70.
45.
I lost.
On the critics. Now, the audience gave it an 80.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it was good. I like that movie, now that I remember it. I remember the injury was grotesque.
It was a knee or a leg thing.
It was bad.
Yeah, maybe they were playing Iowa at the time, if I remember correctly. But
yeah, you play those Hawkeyes. They're dirty.
It's a night game.
Dirty.
Kirk Ferentz probably the coach then, too.
Yeah.
It's been there. Been there.
C.J. Beathard was just starting his career.
Oh.
Chuck Long. Remember Chuck Long?
Yeah.
He almost won the Heisman over Bo Jackson. It was close.
Probably shouldn't have.
Yeah, probably got it right. Jason White says hello.
All right, moving on. We're going to go with the local one, the one where Hugh Freeze and Michael Orr become stars.
Oh,
it
God.
Is 2009, I think.
Oh,
The Blind Side.
Are you a Sandra Bullock person, by the way? Does Sandra Bullock do it for you at all? Be honest.
I mean, at all, yes, but no, not one of my favorites.
She does nothing for me.
Just no interest.
Like, in The Firm, if they could have put, not The Firm, the first Grisham book.
Time to Kill.
Time to Kill. If they could have put a different person in Sandra Bullock's role, wasn't she in Time to Kill?
Yeah, she was the assistant or the
yeah. Whatever. Like, who was his wife in Time to Kill?
Oh,
I know I'm taking you down a road you weren't prepared to go, but that's what you get.
She's by far the better looking of the
oh,
two.
Oh my it's, God, it's, she stirs my soul. What's her name?
Crap, hold on. Oh, it's Ashley Judd.
I love her. In that movie, I mean.
Yeah, Sandra Bullock plays Ellen Rourke in the movie.
I can watch that movie and. When she comes on, things happen.
Ashley Judd. The two interesting things about that movie is...
Heat.
Well, speaking of, everybody sweats profusely because apparently we don't have air conditioners down here.
It's Mississippi. There's no air conditioning.
And they didn't Hollywood it up and at any point have McConaughey hook up with Bullock. They got really close
and close.
They get the potential right after eating the crab or whatever that night.
Yeah.
But they hold it off. They keep McConaughey above the board.
Yeah, well, because he was going home to Ashley Judd. I mean.
He kind of felt something and kind of leaned in and went, let's not go here.
I don't want to mess this up. Where are you, Ashley? Oh,
I know we don't have any air conditioning. It'll be all right.
Who cares?
So, all right, The Blind Side. What do you got?
I don't know about you, but when
Ed Orgeron carried the movie.
When you're that sweaty, like, nothing is very sexy when you're that sweaty.
No. No, they were like 8 mile run sweaty the entire movie.
Yeah, it's just nasty.
Just the shirt stuck to them.
Yeah, and you got
to
go. I mean, I never understood that.
Yeah.
Take a shower and turn the air on, guys.
Well, they didn't have it.
Well, maybe they should have, because a shower scene with Ashley Judd and that movie goes to a new level.
Okay.
I'm
going 72 for The Blind Side.
I was about to give my rating on A Time to Kill.
I'll look it up too.
No, that's okay. Blind Side, I hated it.
Why'd you hate it?
So fake. So Hollywood.
Okay.
So platitudinal.
That's fair.
Just... Sandra Bullock's character is insufferable. Michael Orr's character is completely false, totally unrealistic. And as usual, they make Sean Toohey out to be an absolute buffoon who would not be able to get down the street by himself if it weren't for his wife. Think what you will of Sean Toohey one way or the other. I don't care. Something tells me that even without Leanne's help, he'd be able to get dressed in the morning. So I'll say critics saw through some of that and gave it a 35.
66.
Dear God.
66. Audience of 85. A Time to Kill does beat it, by the way, but only by one. 67 for the critics with A Time to Kill.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
You're telling me that movie critics basically rated Blindside and A Time to Kill the same?
The Blindside consensus. It might strike some viewers as a little too pat, but The Blindside has the benefit of strong source material and a strong performance from Sandra Bullock. A Time to Kill critic consensus. Overlong and superficial. A Time to Kill nonetheless succeeds on the strength of its skillful craftsmanship and top-notch performances. A Time to Kill was the superficial one out of the two. No, you need me to.
I'm protesting at this moment. It's awful.
I love how one critic who gave it a positive review does not know maybe this is a true story. Orr's life is meant to make us feel good and mostly does. Huh? Whoa, huh? It's not a written character. It's a true story. It's a Michael Lewis book.
Yeah.
Great book, by the way.
The book's fantastic.
Great book. Book that did not see Hugh Freeze is very flattering. Just not talked about, you know what I mean, though?
Yeah.
It kind of avoided much negative impact from that. But it wasn't a great connotation of Freeze in that book.
No, and Freeze's portrayal in the movie is almost comical.
Yeah, too stupid.
Yes.
Way too stupid.
I mean, if it's not for Leanne, they don't even figure out how to block.
All right, moving on. Ready to move on?
You think Leanne was the reason that Ole Miss went to the Pellerin package so often last year inside the 10? Maybe she's had a favor. She said, let's put Pellerin in. Maybe she was on the headset.
Well, remember that student reporter that time did ask Freeze if Leanne was the reason the program got turned around. I give Hugh credit for keeping some semblance of a straight face and trying to give a thoughtful answer.
That was great. How did we all not start howling laughing? Were we too shocked to laugh?
Yeah, I think we just all looked down at her like, oh, God.
That's fantastic. It's like the NPR lady that always asked the football question. The question she asked it of, I think, Nutt and Freeze, right? How much money they made. And
Sandra Knipsel was her name.
Knipsel?
Yeah, I think it was Knipsel.
Okay. She's still around?
I don't know.
We should get her on the podcast.
All right.
I'd rather talk to her than Sandra Bullock.
You ready for the next one?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. 1994. A lot of early 90s in this. Yeah. I guess the NCAA was a thing back then.
It's a thing now.
It's true. Every school day, African-American teenagers William Gates and Arthur Agee travel 90 minutes each way from inner-city Chicago to St. Joseph High School in Westchester, Illinois, a predominantly white suburban school well-known for the excellence of its basketball program. They dream of NBA stardom, and with the support of their close-knit families, they battle the social and physical obstacles that stand in their way. The documentary was shot over the course of 5 years, Hoop Dreams.
Oh, yeah.
It's an NCAA tie-in because they ended up going to Marquette and Arizona State, the two kids.
Okay.
And they were told that they could not make a dime off the documentary or they would have no eligibility at the college level.
I'm trying to remember if I've even seen that whole movie.
It's phenomenal.
I need to put that on my list. I don't know that I've seen the whole movie.
And this is the one where I knew the score beforehand, so I couldn't take part.
I'm going to guess it got a really high score. 85.
98.
Wow.
One of the most critically acclaimed documentaries of all time, Hoop Dreams is a rich, complex, heartbreaking, and deeply rewarding film that uses high school hoops as a jumping-off point to explore issues of race, class, and education in modern America. Great film.
All right, I'll have to check. I'll have to make sure I check that out.
It is. It is on a level above the program. God Bless Its Soul, The Blind Side, and Blue Chips. As we move on, we have one more.
Okay.
Maybe the most NCAA related of the bunch, and moving up in the canon for sports movies past
the canon,
past Hoop Dreams. I am talking about Scott Bakula, Kathy Ireland, and the. What year was this? Let me find it.
This was after Kathy.
The 1991 film, not movie, film, Necessary Roughness.
This was after Kathy and I had kind of broken up.
It was modeled after North Texas. They're called Texas State Armadillos. Speaking of armadillos, in the movie, they're green and white, and they knock off the Texas Colts at the end of the game. They tied somebody the week before. Don't remember who that was, but.
So in Kathy Ireland's prime, how old were you? She was before you, right? She's sort of like your version, like she's like your Cheryl Teagues.
Yeah, I mean, what are you classifying as Kathy Ireland's prime?
Sports Illustrated swimsuit covers.
Well, okay, what years? Help.
Well, I'm looking. Hold on. Kathy Ireland was born. God, really? She was born in 63. She's 54 years old. She's worth $420 million.
Worked out for her.
Her spouse is Greg Olson. Is that the football player?
I would guess no, but I don't know. It was also a Greg Olson that caught for the Braves in the early 90s.
No, he's a doctor. He's a ER surgeon. Still married. Good for them. So she was, let's see, Kathy Ireland, Sports Illustrated, 1984, 86. She was on the cover.
I was born in late 83.
Man, I hate you so much.
Yeah.
So when I was like 14, she was on in my Sports Illustrated.
Uh-huh.
We had a pretty...
A unilateral relationship?
We had a very hot, one-dimensional relationship.
You and millions of others, probably.
I don't want to think about the millions of others. It was me and her.
Okay.
Me and Kathy. So when she was in that movie, by that point, she and I had broken up. But the relationship ended amicably.
So,
and I still thought of her fondly, so I enjoyed her movie.
So watchable or too stupid? Sinbad, Scott Bakula.
I mean, it was really bad, but it was funny.
Basically, they lost the entire team because of the probation and had to just go get dudes to play on the football team.
Right.
And play a regular schedule.
So it was completely unrealistic, almost completely unwatchable, but she was in it, and frankly, she's really cute, and she's bubbly, and she's funny. I will say critics blew it apart, and audiences gave it a better score.
I gave it a 22 on the critic score is what I guessed.
It's about right.
It's a 31.
Okay.
And audience only gave it 46. So still, most of the audience hated it as well.
Yeah.
The likable, goofy football comedy has its moments, but it ultimately adheres too closely to the sports movie playbook to overcome the cliches in the script. Well, no kidding. There's going to be cliches in this script.
Yeah.
It is a stupid comedy football movie.
But it was watchable. You watched it. It was funny. You laughed. You were glad it was over when it ended.
You didn't need to see it again, really.
No. I mean, if it comes back on, you're not watching it another time. But...
I mean, from a watchability standpoint, out of the five I picked, Blindside by far the least rewatchable of the five.
Yes.
Depending on your mood. You can't watch Hoop Dreams depending on your mood, but... But Blue Chips, The Program, and Necessary Roughness, all semi-rewatchable. Too incredibly rewatchable, depending on your desire.
Yeah. No, that was fun. It was a fun little game you had there.
Yeah, I'll do what I can.
People take movies. You and I have had this discussion before. My deal with the movie is, was I entertained at all? Did I escape reality for a couple hours?
It's why there are a few movies that I hate. There's hardly any movies that I hate because I can normally find something positive in most any movie.
Yeah, Carson and I went to see Planet of the Apes recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, do I want to see it again? No.
It was okay.
But it's fine. Went to the one where you can get a beer. I got a Stella on draft. Hung out with my little boy and watched a movie. It was fine. He liked it. I liked it good enough. I was entertained.
Mm-hmm. Kids movies are so much, I know Planet of the Apes not, but in general, kids movies so much better than they used to be.
Yeah, of
course. They all have adult themes where you can stick through them now.
Yeah, like the Toy Story movies, I could watch them over and over.
Yeah, you're in.
Cars, I don't want to see them again, but the first time you watch them, it's
there
okay.
There was no adult theme, but CA's gotten really caught up in Secret Life of Pets.
Yeah.
Not bad. Okay.
No. Yeah.
I guess it's Pixar, whomever.
Yeah.
Animated, whatever. It's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah. I'm not ready to blow my brains out by any stretch of the imagination.
No. It's okay. Yeah. Find something in it. That's my whole thing. Blow movies up. Did I escape reality for a couple hours? Was I decently entertained?
And for you, a lot of times, it's what kind of mood am I in when I leave, because I thought it was brilliant, and you weren't a big fan of Boyhood.
No, Boyhood.
It shook you.
It shook me to my core for days.
Yeah.
For days, I was not.
And maybe
the
that's
same.
A sign of a great film, because you had an emotional response to it.
Yeah, maybe so.
But you did not see it as positively because of your mood when you left.
Yeah, when I was finished with that movie, I was not in a good place.
Yeah. It's powerful.
I wanted it to end.
It's long. It's too long. That's the one problem with Boyhood, is it's too long.
It is long. It was just, man.
It just beats on you constantly. It's just
Yeah,
jabbing.
I
it's
felt
jabbing.
That's a great point. I felt beat up when it was over. Like, I just.
Because it's kind of long, and because of the subject, it just pops you and pops you and pops you and pops you.
Yeah, just. Body blow, body blow, body blow, body blow. And then every once in a while, a shot to the jaw.
Yeah.
And you're like, at some point, you're like, would you knock me out, please? Yeah.
We introduced it yesterday. We can help Neil get back to the Kathy Ireland brilliance. If you're tired of paying $50, $60 for the little blue pill, I want to find out you got to wait 3 to 4 hours until it takes effect. We got a solution. Call the home of the 15-minute quickie. Tyson Drugs, the parent company of Right Way Meds, I've told you about for a long time. Owned and operated in Holly Springs, developed a tablet with the active ingredient in the little blue pill that dissolves under the tongue and starts working as little as 15 minutes with the same length of effectiveness as the other guys. 60-milligram tablet can be broken into smaller pieces to get as little as 15 milligrams per dose. It's only $10. They save Mississippi men thousands of dollars and made women happy with this new pill. Call now and give the doctor the information. Call them and they will give the doctor information and make sure your prescription is in the works. They'll deliver it to you where you don't have to go by. You can also go to TysonDrugs.com and fill out the form online where you don't have to talk to a soul and you get it going. So give them a call, 662-252-2321, or again, TysonDrugs.com.
You missed Christy Brinkley's heyday also, didn't you?
Yeah, I have no recollection of that. Obviously, I'm way too young to get back into the, you know, Farrah Fawcett or any of the Angels or any of that.
Yeah, so. Cheryl Ladd, scorching.
You keep going back to Cheryl Ladd.
Cheryl Ladd, Cheryl Teagues, it was a battle. I had relationships with both. Back in the day. The podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further. Then Grenada Nissan's located just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. Complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Great lease deals as well there at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Podcast also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used Comer for AC repair. You can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, and their work is second to none. Comer is an American standard dealer, but they work on any maker model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, comerheatingandair.com, or check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast. You get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane, 662-832-8749. The podcast also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. 7 South Tailgating, owned and operated by Kyle and Jordan Thornton. It's equipped with the largest staff in the Grove. They can service most any of your tailgating needs, SEC-only packages, full-season packages, rental packages, all that's available, as is complete setup, game day concierge, post-game trash removal, equipment breakdown, year-round storage, and more. They'll set you up in the Grove, the Circle, or the outskirts of campus. It's the largest vendor of the Grove, but they'll know your name, and they will treat you like family. 7 South typically sells out every game, so visit their site today. Secure your spot. If you give 7 South a try for one season, you'll never tailgate without them again. 7SouthTailgating.com or 662-321-1682. The podcast also brought to you by Captain John Fryer and Tuna Chaser Charters in Biloxi. John handles inshore and offshore fishing expeditions from 4 to 12 hours. He knows where to put you on the fish you want to catch this time of the year. It's snapper and cobia that are the most popular trips to take. Snapper season runs through Labor Day. Inshore trips for speckled trout and triple tail are also really popular this time of year. You can reach John through his website, tunachasacharters.com, his Facebook page, or by phone, 228-348-7817.
We had a lot of funny stories yesterday. We had the donkey. We had other things. Really just kind of a sad and crazy one here more than anything else. For today, we made fun of Ohio people. That was the one with the snake, the woman with the snake on her face. She was from Ohio.
Yeah.
So yesterday this popped up on Twitter, I saw. Read it, see if you've seen this. I got to show you the picture afterwards, which really makes it take off for you. So we'll tell you where to find this. If you're listening, you need to see the picture as well after I read the story. Two adults in Ohio have been charged with child endangering for transporting children in the back of a U-Haul truck.
Oh, God.
People say the children were sweating. Police say the children were sweating from the heat. Officers were called to a Speedway gas station around 2:30 p.m. Wednesday after someone reported the children were in the back of the truck. A two-year-old was already being treated for heat exhaustion. Five children, ranges from ages 2 to 15, were found in the back of the U-Haul with 25-year-old Jamie Atkin. The youngest child was taken to University Hospital's Cleveland Medical Center before being airlifted to University Hospital's Rainbow Babies and Children in Cleveland for further treatment. The other children went to a nearby hospital but didn't have any major injuries. However, the children did have bed bugs, lice, and fleas on them, according to the police report.
Oh, my God.
The witness, a man who works for the city, told police that he went inside the gas station to buy a Gatorade. When he walked out, he saw the back of the U-Haul open. The witness interviewed said when he saw the children and one adult start to load back into the truck, he confronted them, blah, blah, blah. Said that they told officers they all woke up around 4:30 a.m. to go to a flea market in nearby Amherst, Ohio. She and the children were driving back to Cleveland. They stopped at Speedway to get drinks. While in booking, they told officers that she was the babysitter for the four younger children, not including the 15-year-old, and had been in charge of the children for nearly 2 weeks. They've been placed in foster care and will wait a home, according to Child Services. Been charged with four counts of endangering children, including one felony of the third degree and three misdemeanors of the first count. Also, one of them was charged with five counts of endangering children, including one felony and four misdemeanors of the fourth degree. So, here's what's crazy about this, though. Obviously, don't know the people or whatever, but by looking at a mugshot, I am not surprised that this would be the people that would be the culprits of this situation. Are you ready?
Yeah.
You can find this at Two Works For You. This is a TV station at KJRH2HD, which is an incredibly difficult name for a TV station, whatever.
It is.
KJRH2HD. Here is your mugshot.
Those poor children.
Yeah. It's all you can come up with. I saw this and was more just shook by it than anything else yesterday.
Because you put yourself in those kids.
What they had to be dealing with for whatever time. Yeah.
Wow.
So many sad stuff now. I mean, I guess it's always been going on. We just have so much more media and ability to get in front of so many people at one time. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's just...
Did you see the link that Austin Barber put up on Facebook yesterday about the boys in Minnesota?
No.
It's a feel-good story. After that depressing story, here's a feel-good story.
Okay.
Elementary school boys in Minnesota. It's a little boy that's in their class who the year before was picked on. He has some sort of a learning disability where communication is difficult. You know, he doesn't sound normal. He doesn't learn normally. It turns out he's an adopted boy, and his adopted father died in a bike accident when the little boy was six.
Okay.
I'd guess that he's 9 or 10 at this point. And the year before, the boy had been really picked on at school, as you know, because he's different, really different. And these boys, probably popular kids, good looking, athletic, typical little boys.
Yeah.
Decided that they were going to befriend him, let him eat lunch with them, and then they let him play at recess with them. And turns out that the little boy's a big sports fan. And the friendship goes from, hey, we're going to take care of you, to being a kind of a genuine friendship. And the mom, she can't even say it without choking up. I'm going to try to. About how the boys came over. They got him a game system. They all combined, and their parents helped, of course, and stuff. And they bought him like a PlayStation or a Nintendo or whatever and took it over to him and stuff. And the boys, there's a picture of the boys all in there playing on the game.
Oh, cool.
And the mom says it's the first time that anyone had ever come over to their house to play.
Really?
Yeah, just, it was cool. It was a neat story. A feel-good story. Makes you feel good about...
Kids can have heart.
Oh.
Recognize.
Are you kidding? Tons of it.
You only hear about the bullies, but that's not always the case.
Today was first day of school. And last, you know, Carson's going to a new school. Caroline's going to a new school. And she was upstairs last night helping him pick out his clothes. And I, you know, kind of stayed out of it, you know, because...
Everybody remembers that.
You know, yeah. And she was like, well, this would look cool. This would... You don't want to look too nice. You want to kind of look cool, you know. And he's
absorbing?
Oh, he's listening. He totally let her do it. And so he came down. You think this will be okay? Oh, yeah, you know.
He handed her the keys.
He was smart.
Okay.
Caroline's pretty hip. You've been around Caroline. And but it was just kind of cool. It made you think, you know, maybe we're doing something right.
Did you sense nervousness for either one of those two this morning?
Her a little bit.
First
day of high school.
Yeah, I get that.
I mean, come on now.
Especially when it's a new building and a new place and everything else.
Yeah, I mean, she's been going to Chargerette practice for a month. So she's been there.
She's got a support system already built.
But come on, guys. If you're out there, unless you are the coolest cucumber in the bunch, you remember your first day of high school. That was intimidating.
You're a freshman.
Your first day of high school, your first day of college, that was intimidating. The thought, it ends up, you realize, hey, it's just like last year because I'm with the same people. But walking in that building the first time as a student and stuff, that's nerve-wracking. Hell yeah.
Where am I going? Where's the locker? How are we doing this?
How do I do this and still look cool? How do I do this without looking imbecilic?
Campbell's at the age where she knows everything. She just rolls her eyes at everybody as they walk by.
Campbell's a really laid-back kid. Totally different than the other two. She's being pretty supportive. But this is the year I can tell there's the academic thing is real. Like, we're ordering ACT prep. She's already taken it once and did well, but now we're trying to
hit a number.
Trying to really hit a number here. She's pretty motivated. So
She's a junior.
She started her junior year today. She's beginning to really think about colleges. Is interested in Ole Miss. A little worried that Ole Miss is too big. Ole Miss has gotten big. Ole Miss is not the same Ole Miss that it was even 10 years ago. She's a little concerned about the size.
Give or take 20,000 on campus, I think.
Yeah. It's big.
Maybe a little less than that, but either way.
And, you know, so she can't decide what she thinks about leaving home.
Typical.
Yeah.
Normal.
Yeah. She's 16. You look back and you look at it now and you're like, damn, being 16 was hard. just all the unknowns at 16. So, yeah, it was
so early, too. It's August the 4th.
August 4th. Oxford's funny about it. They start early and they end early.
Yeah.
They'll end like May 20th.
High school football starts in 2 weeks. Literally.
Yeah, I think the Jamboree is
next week.
Next Friday.
Yeah, it'd be next week.
Jeez.
So she's got to go to that then, Caroline.
Yeah, Caroline's got to go to Home and Away. She's got a totally different year.
Podcast brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. MasterCuts, full-service lawn maintenance and landscape company serving Oxford, Tupelo, and surrounding area. No job too large or small for MasterCuts. Services include landscape design, installation, landscape lighting, irrigation, and turf. They do holiday lighting, and they have skeeter beaters to mosquito spray your yard to take care of that pest. So give them a call for a free quote, 662-607-7773, MasterCutsLawn.com, and you get a free cut when you mention the podcast and sign an annual contract.
Podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. Currently, Ben Brown and his team are looking to hire part-time and full-time sales team members across Texas and the Southeast to join their team. They offer extensive training, support, and the best products and pricing in the industry. Whether you're looking to supplement your current income or find a better career opportunity, email Ben Brown at journeybizsolutions.com. They're looking for motivated individuals with some sales experience, a business degree, or are close to completing their business degree who have a passion to serve small business owners. They have an exceptional uncapped commission structure and are an equal opportunity employer. Email Ben today. Last little ad, our ad. If you're interested in sponsoring our picks, we call them Neil's Picks just because I started them. They're also Chase's Picks. Jeffrey's going to do it this year again.
Really?
Because he's pretty good at it.
Yeah.
I'm horrible at it. If you'd like to sponsor those picks for whatever reason, Chase will vouch for this. It's one of the most viewed things we do. Maybe because we're so bad at it. But we have an opening to sponsor Neil's Picks. You can advertise on the podcast as part of that package. Some people have already reached out, so there are some irons in that fire. But if you'd like to become the hottest iron, you can. You can email me. It's neilmccready@gmail.com.
Like how you did that there. You kind of put pressure on people.
Hey, man, I'm keeping it real. Just keeping it real, Chase.
All right. Impressive yesterday. I don't know how much you followed it. We've talked about it a little bit in the past. Steph Curry had his golf debut yesterday, at least from a professional event standpoint.
Oh, yeah?
He participated in the web.com event, AAA for the PGA Tour is the way that works. The top so many, how many ever golfers in the year get PGA Tour cards for the following season. That's how Jonathan Randolph got his card back after losing it. Oxford is hosting the web.com event next year, so just giving you a little context there. After the first day, Steph Curry, he is in 141 out of 154. However, from a pure golf standpoint, did not embarrass himself whatsoever. He shot a 74 that was 4 over. Par was 70 for the day. Hit 8 of 18 greens, 4 of 10 on scrambling. Only 27 putts, which is pretty impressive. Because this is a tour setup. Everybody goes, oh, well, 74 is good, whatever. Yeah, it's not your local muni. They've got this thing set up for professionals to play. It is by far tougher, even though web.com, they do want scoring. So, also finished one shot ahead of Sam Ryder, who was playing in his group and won an event 2 weeks ago. So, beating any professional is an accomplishment for Steph Curry after one round, no matter who it is. Because we're talking about people who play golf and don't play basketball every day of their lives, and this is their livelihood. So, significant interest. A lot of media passes for this thing.
Yeah.
The failure is on the Golf Channel. No TV coverage of this whatsoever. But overall, not bad. And I have to compliment him. I did not expect that type of score. And he was a good golfer, but it's a little different animal out there in a tournament format. And that's pretty good.
Well, he's an elite athlete.
You're not shocked he found a way to get it around the course?
No. I am surprised he did that well.
He's in 141st. He tees off at 115 today.
I'll be honest, I hope he does exceptionally well and decides, you know what, this golf thing is what I need to do with my life. I hope he wins the damn tournament.
Going to run today, make the cut,
And then I hope he like goes home and puts up a picture of Justin with Spieth.
Jordan
Spieth.
Him too.
And Rory McIlroy and stuff. And put that on his mirror and start thinking, I want to beat them. Say, I've won an MVP. I've got a couple of rings.
What is left there?
A green jacket's what's left for you, Steph. But you're running out of time. You can't do basketball anymore. You've got to focus on golf. And take Katie with you.
A little bit of news here as we close. Reading from USA Today, Chad Kelly might have to wait to experience his first official season in the NFL. Kelly, who was selected by the Broncos with the final pick of the draft, is still recovering from ACL surgery and surgery on his right wrist. Denver has Kelly on its non-football injury list, which means he won't be able to play the first 6 weeks of the season if he's not activated before week one. Andrew Mason, who writes for the team's official site, believes the Broncos may, quote, redshirt Kelly in 2017. A redshirt scenario could see Kelly spending the season on Denver's injured reserve list and returning as a first-year player in 2018. If that happens, Kyle Sloter's chances of at least making the 10-man practice squad will greatly improve. So a little news there on Chad Kelly. Saw somewhere on Twitter, the board, Mike Hilton had an interception in some event or something. So
not surprised.
Yeah, said he's hung around a little bit.
Not surprised.
Robert Kimdichie played well last night.
He did. Well,
talent's never been the issue with Rob.
We also talked about this. There was a reason that last year it was such a big news about Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott. It's hard being a rookie. It's about being a freshman your first day. Yeah, walking up into an NFL training camp and going, hey, I'm ready for this. A little different deal in the NFL. I'm not surprised that Robert Laquan's having a better second year. Mm-hmm. That second year typically is the year that if it doesn't go well in year two, the NFL guys go, maybe not. There's a lot of guys who struggled their freshman, their rookie year, and ended up having really good careers.
I don't know what the chances are, but there's nobody I'd like to make a 53-man roster more than Mike Hilton. So,
no doubt.
We'll see.
Talk about a dude that you cheer for.
Mm-hmm. Don't know how long Cinquez is out. We did read again from Fowler that it was a not a serious injury whatsoever. Yeah. So
I'm sure they're just saying, hey, dude, get well. Let's keep trying this. But you, and I'm not surprised the Broncos are taking their time with Chad Kelly. Because let's get real. If Chad Kelly is your quarterback in Denver this year, and this is not a knock on Chad, but he's a rookie quarterback. And at this point, a seventh-round rookie quarterback. That's not making fun. That's reality. If that's your quarterback, your team sucks.
Get him well and then see what he can do.
Get him well. Let him acclimate a little. Don't throw him in there if he's not 100% physically.
Mm-hmm.
I would tell Chad Kelly, if I'm the Broncos, hey, you're getting paid. Go learn, absorb, and get well.
Yeah.
And then next spring,
let's go.
Yeah. But this year, I think it's smart of them to kind of tell him, hey, we're redshirting you. I think that's really smart. Take your foot off the gas a little.
Take it off the table so he can lock in.
Get well and learn. Absorb. And also gives you a chance if you're Denver, he's got to be clean for a year.
Yeah.
And I don't think this is going to be a problem for Chad, frankly. But it'll silence some of that. Hey, okay. Go be a good citizen. Learn. Study. Stay out of the spotlight. And get well. I still think Chad's an NFL quarterback.
Yeah. All right. We're back Monday again. Big week plan. Check RebelGrove.com in the meantime. And we will talk to you in a couple days.